So here we are. We are on the 13th chapter, which talks about closing and handing over a project. We did speak about how crucial and critical is closing a project. Let's have a deep down understanding around how a project closing and handover happens. So when we say project handover or closing, when I'm having a project that has to be handed over to a operational teams to get it into a daily operation routine, and closing a project is I've actually received the complete project objectives and I'm closing the project now. So let's look at this. Learning objectives, program management through all phases is carried out with an objective of meeting a project objective, reduce the deliverables and accomplish a project successfully. The accomplishment is not achieved till the final phase of project closing is completed, since, as stated earlier, all projects are temporary nature and are moving towards the logical end. So just remember, I mean, we started off with this thought that everything around a project is temporary. It will always have a start date and an end date. The closing of a project may not be always with successful accomplishment of project objectives or deliverables. Some projects may have to be closed without accomplishing the project objectives due to various different reasons, and we'll take our understanding on what are those various reasons as well. So let's look at this. Projects were closed logically after achieving the objective project objectives or without accomplishment of the project objectives may the team members, stakeholders, to learn many lessons. During its journey through all the phases such as initiation, analysis, planning, budgeting, execution and monitoring and control. Our objective here is to assess and understand the reasons of premature closing of a project, how the closing of various projects under various conditions is completed successfully, the activities carried out during the project closing phase, and how the lessons learned are recorded and incorporated as project assets. So, let's begin from things that we say are premature closing. What do we mean by premature closing, and why do projects don't work on or sometimes have to be closed with not having the objectives done? Various reasons. Environmental reasons, change in government, change in policies, the stakeholders' interest is lost. Possible, absolutely possible. All right. Lot of times, the people who are working are not competent to complete it. That's also possible, and hence, you've done wrong hiring. And either you have to close it out because now it's too late, or maybe you try to revive it some or the other way. It's not making financial viability now to get into that kind of a project. That could be a reason of premature closing a project. How the closing of various conditions and what is that rigor and passion that people still go through to complete that project and be a little more profitable. A lot of good examples around how do people struggle and go. You should read a case study or visit on to a company's profile and its history called POSCO Steel. It's a South Korean company and third largest steel providers in the world. You will realize when POSCO Steel started off, it did not have the resources, it did not have the money, it did not have people who are equally competent. Still, they were able to make it. What made it happen? Post the Second World War, when South Korea was badly hit, they all came together with a small team with a dream that they will make the country stand again through steel. And that was the innate vision that the company had, and they grew immensely. And that's exactly we need to realize the fact that any project, when fizzes out, plays a devil's play here is human. So human intervention may cause a project to fizz out as well. So let's go through the slide and then decide and see what we're going to learn more. So while lot written on the slide, I will read it for you, but do realize some good pointers, and I'm going to put it across to you through the slide. So it is important to ensure that a project properly closes for two reasons. The first reason is that if I close, if I not close project properly, there is a tendency for project to drift and on and become or develop into other projects. The tendency of projects to run into the sand must be avoided, since it makes everyone feel dissatisfied and unrewarded for the for the work, often extra work they have that they have done. Often nobody checks all the project objectives have been completed or exceeded. They may notice that project is underspent or spend the budget on something else, or the project may just drift into over expenditure and then be considered unsuccessful project. So I have an example around this. One of the reason one of a new developer started off with a land project, okay, where he wanted to create say 4,000 square feet plots and to sell it to people. He started off with this project. He also got a lot of revenues. He also pre-sold a few plots. Unfortunately, some government approvals delayed. His rift with his business partners started off, and then the project dwelled in. And then they came out with a solution that, they came out with a understanding and had to close the project, but the project is not successful. Unfortunately, it was not the project which was not successful. It was the incompetency of the people who were in the project who could not make that project successful. So we need to realize that most of the time, if things are not pegged it at the right time, it will delay it. And the moment the delay is big, the consequences would be big. And the moment consequences are big, it's going to deteriorate the quality of the project, and your project might fizz out. Second reason is that if the importance important to ensure that the work is complete, a project team is acknowledged from formal closing of the project and contractual assignments required are fulfilled. As the closing of the project team is always acceptable, the charge responsibility of operations team. So unless my project closes in, it doesn't go into operations. So I need to have a formal document, a formal meeting with every stakeholder to ensure that my project is closed. Let's move on to the other purpose of it. With a formal closure procedure and announcement, project managers can ensure release of the resources. Important, right? My resources don't know. Where are you working? Are we still on that? If installed, still not that. What am I doing? And am I moving up around the project? So that's important from a resource point of view. A strict monitoring and maintaining of the project definition and the project plan. The project will not only be under control, may be officially closed at the end. It is the end of the project that we see benefits of tight control. Time and effort spent ensuring that extra work was specified, budgeted, resourced, and fully authorized will be rewarded on the time and budget project report. Now that if my control and mechanism process is strong, I will find that my projects are getting completed on time. I might see that my projects are actually working around in the time structure. My budget is in control, and I'm making those profits for my company or for myself through those projects. So that's very, very important. Similarly, the voice of dissatisfaction can be dispelled or at least reduced to silence. When the project report reveals that the project delivered all that it was defined but not those elements that were authorized to remove from the project so that it could deliver its product, services, results by the definite date. Let's look at the last piece of it. It says it is very essential that lessons to be learned from the project are finally investigated and recorded for use of next project, which will improve the project performance, efficiency, and benefit organization future. This activity will be carried out only with the formal closing of the project. So, as we always say, that whatever happens is learning. Whether it's successful, whether it's not successful. If it's successful, you can just go to people and tell people that this is how you do it. If you're not successful, you definitely go ahead and talk to people. This is not how it has to be done. So every time, but I need to be clear whether the project is closing or no, or whether it's fizzing out. So every lesson learned in any project that you do will always help you to gain experience. So as you know, as I understand, this series is for the college. So this is a learning that you got to take for yourself, which will say that it does not matter whether my project right now is successful or no. However, or rather, it does matter that my project is successful or no. However, if it is not, it is still a learning that I have got. I will pick up the best things out of it. I will look at things that have not gone well, and I will implement the same thing in the next project to make it happen. From my point of view, or in a personal opinion, is projects 90% fizz out because project managers and people let it fizz out. If you have the capacity and the passion to drive a project, it will never ever fizz out. So make it a point that it's an individual behavior of everybody in the project team, which also is a great reason for people's project to fail or pass. So that's something that we wanted to talk on. Let's look at the next aspect of it. The reasons for premature closing of the projects could be the need of project no more valid, loss of their interest. So let's look at a product development project team that discontinued the project has become redundant due to more advanced support. So let me give you a technology example. People were working on multimedia messaging way. Some telcos were working on multimedia messaging, what can be the new way of doing it. And somebody like WhatsApp came in and actually took all over the messaging. So there's no messaging required. So technology that people were trying, or products that telcos were trying to develop for messaging has gone redundant. So there's no need of that kind of a project. There's somebody else who's already gone ahead 10 miles and take over the market. So what's the point in investing in that? So that's how one of the reasons it fizzes out. Let's look at project cancelled by the intending organization, which means the customer said, I don't require it now. So there's no way you're doing the project. Change in statutory, legal procedures, I spoke about this, environmental changes, regulatory changes, government changes. For example, special economic zone, SEZ, is withdrawn by the government. You can't do anything about it. You can't now build a chemical plant in any place unless it is an SEZ. Project is not commercially viable. For example, 5-star hotel building in progress was decided to keep on hold because the ROI is changed scenario. So, you know, there is a 7-star property and which requires 1,000 crores investment, and there is a complete dip in economy. People are not visiting. The business has slowed down. Obviously, hotel industry is going to get hit. The moment hotel industry gets hit, his ROI is going to get calculated, and his 1,000 crores budget that he's put for one hotel is going to go down. So he might put it onto hold. And because it's not making commercial viability to him. Project is stuck and not progressing because of disputes in partners, in project team members, in the stakeholders, in the management, possible. Some more reasons. The project of which outcomes is achieved successful, but if you forecast that the outcome cannot be achieved to an acceptable quality, there is a little point in continuing to spend resources on it. Even if end outcome cannot be achieved, formal closure of a project is necessary since the project can still be a success if it. So why the outcome cannot be achieved? So, which gives a greater ability to the stakeholders whether they want to invest in it or no, or that the outcome cannot be achieved in the way that the project was attempted to achieve. So maybe you have to change the modus operandi or the methodology to achieve things. So it can only happen if you identify you closing it and then the reasoning around it. So that's what we're talking about here. It is also a success if the lessons learned along the way enable others to avoid similar pitfalls or the mistakes in the same organization. A lot of things are possible. The success of such a project is more dependent on the quality of the knowledge management and dissemination than a final outcome of the product. If such a project achieves the desired outcome, that it was tested, then that's a bonus. Just remember this. You know, that's how it works. Few more things to read on. The project closed without achieving the final outcome requires particular attention and focus of the learning aspects. When things go wrong, there are natural tendencies to focus on why. And When things go wrong, we also blame project managers, we blame team members, we blame environment, we blame the government, we blame. I mean, that's not the way we actually work around, and we can talk a little bit on it. If people start focusing on the objective rather than the reasoning part of it, or you might find that everything that you are doing is done with the correct intention by somebody, and if it is done with correct intention by somebody, not necessary that the person wants to fail, because there's nobody who wants to be non-successful. Everybody around you wants to be successful. So people will perceive information according to them, and while they perceiving information according to them, it is imperative that they might make mistakes, because all of us do not see the world in the same way. So reasoning has to be done on factual levels and not on the perceptive levels. So what do I mean by that? Let me give you an example. Sun rises from east. True or false? A lot of you might say true. And if I ask you why true, because that's how it's been told to us. Sun will always rise from east. But I say it's false. You know why it's false? Because if I go on a north pole or a south pole, there is no direction. Which means that sun rises from east is a false statement. But factually, if I talk, wherever I am standing now, on left hand side is east, and sun rises right now where I am standing from east is a fact. So there's a huge difference between truth and fact. So every time when you go in reasoning why a project has been successful or non-successful, ensure that you're talking objective and factual and not how you've perceived it to be. So if you talk on data, if you talk on numbers, if you talk on objectives, you will be able to reason out, or rather honest reasoning would happen, of a success or a failure of a project. So that takes us to the next aspect of it, which talks about the lessons learned report in important for such projects, since in spite following the scientific approach of a project, something has gone wrong. When I say scientific approach, the factual approach is what we're talking about. It is necessary to identify things that have gone wrong. Very, very important. But the modus operandi of it is factual data. Do not talk on perceived data. Talk on factual data. Right? The lessons learned report shall gather all the information that may be used to other projects. It documents that what went well and what went badly and why. It describes methods used to estimate, to plan, to manage, and to control the project, and how effective, efficient they are. It contains recommendations of future projects to either take up or avoid ways of working, and should contain some measurements of how much efforts was required to produce the various products or services, or what is the change in it. Categorization of projects for closing and handover. So let me read through the slide first for this. Because of a unique nature, all the projects can't be handled with the same philosophy of closing. Each project will end in different treatments, philosophy for closing, including a report on lessons learned. Considering the requirement of different approaches of closing, the projects can be categorized in few formats, and one of them is improvement projects within the organization. These may be the improvement or service improvement or product improvement or a machinery improvement projects. So these are also called as the Kaizen projects, basically the continuous improvement projects. For example, addition or mapping of process in the project management module. Improvement is the logistic service for material dispatches. Improvement in car engine to improve efficiency of the fuel. These are improvement projects. So they will end up once the target is achieved. So that's how it works. So improvement projects of customer base. So same as within the organization, the output of the project shall not be for an organization to use, but shall be deliverables for the customers. The customers may be other organizations with an NGO as sponsor. For example, improvement of a cremation facility used at XYZ village is sponsored by Rotary Club. So that could be one of the projects which is based on the other organization or the customer. What is next? The third category is sub-projects for larger projects taken up by organization. So it could be the contracting mode. So say highway project. So actual project is government project. Actual project is government project. However, say I have to build a 300 kilometers of highway. Is it possible that I give it to one partner? Possibilities, no. Government wouldn't do that. So what would they do? You know, they would allocate 50 kilometers to each partner. And they would give a target. So 50 kilometers to each partner and say within 20 days, 100 meters or say 200 meters have to be completed. And the project should go for 6 months. That's the estimated time. Which means that the subcontractor would only do his 50 kilometers of project. So for subcontractor, it's a 50 kilometers project. But for government, it's a 300 kilometers project. So that's how a sub-project for a larger project has been categorized. Let's look at this. In case of the larger project is divided into number of smaller units, each unit is executed as an independent project. Like, as I told you, the subcontractor who would work for a highway project for 50 kilometers. With an independent project management team, for example, if an organization has taken up a project for a construction of a complete airport, the check-in facility, construction of the airstrip, control room, baggage handling system for the terminals, etc., would be all sub-projects. I mean, that's the we see new airports being built up in India, and you might find they are made fabulously well. The reason they are made fabulously well is because there have been different teams working and different projects working in the same, you know, in the same facility to improve that. That's how a sub-project of a large project is created. Sub-project of a customer's largest project. So same as D, it would be for customer now. It is for this was for government. This sub-project is for customer. So if you read through this, you'll understand there are many organizations that are supplying various sub-projects to customers. For example, consider an oil and gas exploration project of ABC Oil Corporation, in which ABC Oil Corporation can allot the piping design, supply and erection to X company, supply of gas compression facility to Y, an emergency flaring system to Z, and so on. So these are basically the contracting companies, and you find a lot of these contracting companies in Middle East. Typically, there's one company called Consolidated Gulf Inc. Now, what do they do? Consolidated Gulf Inc. is a contracting company, and their strength is security systems. So they give security systems to residential buildings, to commercial buildings, to plants, to everybody. So every aspect of their project is different because the customer is different. So these are also projects that you actually building on. So you do have 10 projects. So your company is one project and you have 10 different projects doing for 10 different customers. So that's a projectized company. It's also called as a projectized company where everything is project based. And they also, in a local term, they're also called as contracting companies. So the last is, of course, the next is, of course, larger projects taken by the organization. Consider the airport facility or an oil gas exploration facility as an above example. If the whole project is contracted to one organization with contractual requirements of closing the complete project in one go. Now, very, very important is, excavation of oil is the project. And you have to build up trains. If you remember my last example, it's called mobile offshore units. So when I say mobile offshore units, what do you mean by that? The mobile offshore units are built between the sea and the refinery. So this bridge is called MOPU, mobile offshore units, projectized units. So where one organization is given the complete responsibility of building it. All right, whether it's electrical, whether it is electronics, whether it is civil, everything has been given to them. They have to complete it in a specific time. And so they have subcontracted it. However, it's a part of a large project, but one organization is delivering it. So that's how you differentiate it. Objectives of project closing. While closing, the project manager shall review all the prior information from the previous phase closure. Ensure that all project work is completed to meet the project objectives, but project work completion is one aspect for closure. It is necessary that all work related aspects are also considered and relevant actions are taken for closure of the project. In order to achieve the effective project closure should be done with a focus on satisfactory completions as per project management plan to meet the exit criteria is achieved. So from a more software point of view, you might find a phase called testing being done for any software. So unless my testing is done, my beta version doesn't happen. My beta doesn't happen, my final product doesn't come up. So testing is an integral phase of any software development project that has to be handed over to the customer. So that's what we're talking here. So project team is ready for all respect to transfer the project or a product or a service or a result to the next phase. So that next phase, so for me, if I'm a subcontractor, my project is done, I've completed that, now handed over to the organization back. An organization is going to pick that up project, that part, that phase of my project, which was ideally a sub-project to me, and will hand over to somebody else because that's their expertise. So that's how it works in large projects. So for me, it could be a closure. For somebody, it could be just be an opening or an initiation phase. Let me read through the slide now. All the project records are collected, consolidated, and compiled. Project performance success or failures is audited. A failure is audited with reference to cost, schedule, and scope. You remember the constraint, the triple constraint triangle that I spoke about is more about this. Learned lessons, lessons learned information and is collected, consolidated, and compiled. All project information, including organizational process assets, are updated and archived because everything that happens is a learning. Do not forget this. Report of customer satisfaction levels with reference of the contractual requirement is generated, and the budget and resource requirements of the performance monitoring during the warranty period are identified as approved irrespective of whether it is contractual or required. So, scope of activities during the closing out of a project or in handover of a project. So before that, before this slide, we just checked upon what are the activities that are important and what are the closeout objectives. However, let's look at some integral aspects of activities that will flow while you closing out or handing over a project. Let's read through the slide. It says the project manager role is very important in the project closure since the interaction, coordination, and action in alignment with the project closing objectives are all by the stakeholders are essential. In order to ensure all the objectives are mentioned above are met, the project manager and the team has to take certain actions and certain completion of the activities that are listed below. Let's look at what are those activities that you need to complete before handing over or closing a project. So obtaining acceptance from the customers, so end consumers, whether it is an internal project where you need to have acceptance from the stakeholders or from the management or from the investors, or if it is an external project, your customer has to say go through it, test it, see it themselves that it is done, and then the acceptance approval comes in. The end user or the sponsor of formally or to formally close a project. Conducting post project or phase end review. So this is a document that's been created which takes a review of whatever happened and what, you know, it's a summary of what has happened. Recording impacts of tailoring to any process. So what are the variations in different processes that you took? That's something that we'll have to record, because every time when we do similar kind of projects, we will realize immediately that these are processes which require deviation, and hence probably if it's a continuous deviation, you might actually go ahead and pick up the deviation as a process itself. So that takes us to the next aspect of it, which talks about documenting lessons learned, updating the organizational process assets, updating all process documents and archiving the same in the PMIS. Now, what is PMIS? It is Performance Project Management Information System. I'll repeat, it is PMIS, is Project Management Information System. Now, what is this Project Management Information System? This could be in a form of an ERP, this could be in a form of a SAP, this could be a form of a LMS. Now, what are these words? SAP is a software, of course, that helps you to run through everything. ERP is a software, again, which runs through everything. ERP is also a methodology, by the way. LMS is Learning Management System. HRMS is Human Resource Management System. So, these are these are part of your PMIS, which is a project management information system. Now that system is your archive of everything that you've done around the project. So that takes us to the next step, which talks about preparing the final documentation for the customer as per the contractual requirement. So that's also so. Like you've done a contract while you signed off the project and you initiate the project, it's also important that you create a contractual document, which is the closeout contractual document with the customer. The next is close out all procurement activities of a relevant agreement and perform team members' assessment and release the project resources. So do the analysis, because that's exactly why your resources are going to be here, because they want to perform, they want to go ahead. So make a document which talks about, all right, this resource performed this well, this resource, or X resource did not perform well, or X resource did a mediocre job, or a Y resource did a great job around it. So those documentations have to be handed over to HR post your project. Identifying and coordination with the team with responsibility, risk during the monitoring period, and response for the same, including the fallback plan. So this is basically the fallback plans and risk that you've gone. So we spoke about the process deviations that we took. Most of the time, deviations are taken because there's a risk involved. And preparing final overall project performance report of how this project has helped the organization, how this is made, how this project has been a great success or not been a great success, or what are the lessons learned. A complete overview of a project as a final performance report. Scope of activities, there are a few more, which talks about handing over the product to appropriate interest parties and acceptance by them to formally close out the project. So I'm just reading out through the slide now, because we've discussed around this. The accepted deliverables, product acceptance and release documents from quality control, the organizational processes are the basics of the inputs for the activity. So quality becomes more important, your organizational process becomes more important while you're handing over the project. The agreed procedures between the organization and customers shall be followed to execute the handover process. So then though handover is a part of my closeout, then my step-by-step handing over the complete aspect would be done. So let's consider an example around the airport those are getting built in India. So there's a team who's working on electrical aspects. There's a team which is working on the aesthetic aspects. There's a team which is working from the architectural point of view. There's a team which is working on civil point of view. There's a team which is working on air conditioning point of view. So if you or the elevators that we have, or the or how the passengers would move in that plan. So all these teams are actually working on individual projects for the same large project. So once their job is done, say electricity or a complete electricity formation of an airport is done, that is handed over to the airport authorities, Airport Authority of India, and then Airport Authority of India will check whether everything is working. Does a milestone checking. Once that is done, then the handover process starts. That's exactly what we're talking about. Recording the tailoring of any process means, what does it mean? This will be ensured that the integrated change control procedure, by raising the change request and ensuring that the updated document is archived. So as I also mentioned it in the earlier slide, that it's important to understand and note and report every change request that you put in, the justified reasons for it, of why the change is happening in the process. Similarly, conducting post-project or phase review, again important. I have given an example around this as well. I'll read through for the slide. It says the entire project's performance data, work performance information, and work performance review report generated as per the project management plan from time to time are the basic inputs for the post-project reports reviews. Post-project reviews shall be conducted immediately after the acceptance of project deliverables, in case they are realized and project objectives are met. So it is giving us a small understanding around this, that when is actually a review is conducted. You've given the deliverables to your customers. You come back on your drawing board with your team, or maybe the core team, sit with them and then discuss of how it happened. What was the learning? What were the basic learnings around it? whatever happens in that kind of a meeting is then minuted down and kept as the archived or lessons learned of the project, and some success points of the project, some failure points of the project, some difficult situations in the project that have happened. And those are all documented. And that becomes history for the next team members to come in and deliver better projects for them. That takes us to the next part of it, which talks about in case the project objective realization is not evident, immediately the post-project review can be conducted after a period agreed between the organization and the customer. In the case of phase end review, it should be conducted immediately after the phase deliverables are accepted. The post-project review conducted as per the organizational procedure may generate some issues which should be resolved with a time-bound plan that are mutually agreed by the parties. Now, important is that you got to chalk out those plans and chalk out those activities which are not completed. Though the project has been handed over now, but you and customer would then sit together and find out the nitty-gritties, because there is also something called as a maintenance plan. So that you could have few things put into your maintenance so that it's being handed over smoothly. Some more things on it. Documents on lessons learned. I have already given you an example of why is it important. History of any project is very important, because there's no point doing re-engineering on few things. So there'll be a lot of good things in your project that people can pick up and either replicate it or enhance it. So important is your documenting lessons learned. So I'll read through what the paragraph says. It is an inevitable aspect of every project management process, and shall be done as a routine practice through all phase of the project. During the project closing phase, the consolidation, compilation of the lessons learned must be done for easy understanding, tracking, or use of future projects. Updating the organizational process assets. This is also a routine practice for each and every project phase, project management phase, and these are appearing as project outputs. During project closure, now important thing that I'm reading right now, if you can see on the slide, there's something underlined, the entire sentence is underlined. It says the check against the change request, which means the check against the deviation that has happened in the process. Revised records must be done to ensure that each and every change request is basically monitored, whether verbal or written, is recorded, attended, and implemented. So I'm using three important words here. I'm saying it should be on a paper, it should have an actionable, and it should be implied somewhere. So if these three things are not done, which means my change request has not taken properly and my change has not happened properly. As per the review decision, the typical updates shall be highlighted in the final project closeout. So the top liners, what the project has achieved, the top things that so it could be an easy document. Ideally, what does this easy document have? It has a 10 pointer which talks about how successful this project was. These were the reasons of these, good team, these were the team members who made it happen, who were the key stakeholders of the project, how did this project move on phase-wise. So these are top things. Then lessons learned, top 10 things that you failed to anticipate, and how what happened. So that kind of a document ideally is the final highlights of the project. Let's move on to the next part, which talks about preparing the final documentation for the customer as per the contractual requirement. This shall be done as per the contractual requirements and the customer's need to smooth trouble-free operations for a project in future. The final documentation provided by the eligible and indexed for easy accessibility and tracking, the sufficient number of copies as per requirement in both soft and hard shall be provided to the customer, to the team, to the company, to the project manager. So everybody has a record. How do they access it in future if there's a problem? So if there's a problem with the customer end, he can go back to the document and check how it's to be done. If it's a problem at the organizational end in terms of maintenance or review, my organization can go back. If it's in terms of project manager, it can come to project manager anytime. So hence, it is imperative that it is a signed document goes to everybody that this is the closeout of the document. Updating all the project documents and archiving the same in PMIS for an historical data. I've already given you an example around this. I'll just read through what is written in the bullet point. It says this applies to the entire range of product documents, including drawing, analysis report, calculations, communication approvals, technical specifications, quality control reports, operating instructions, erecting commission procedures, and so on. So everything that is there in a project, right from a design to an execution, whatever you have done has to go to PMS. Why PMS? As I told you, your lessons learned becomes the fastest way of accessing things for people and improving their projects, saving time and money for them in future.